This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24-7 home of the black and gold. SNR, Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome to The Drive. I'm Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson. It's a lovely Wednesday here in Pittsburgh. The rain has kind of pushed out of the area yesterday with a lot of storms.
This was my kid's last day, though, so it's like officially summer in the Williamson household. I mean, it feels like it. I mean, it's hot.
It's,
yeah,
sticky.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. It feels like
and the Steelers are still working on their OTAs.
Right.
They got they have two left that they can do. What they typically do is they'll practice tomorrow. And then on Friday, Mike Tomlin will do something fun with everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
Take them to Dave and Buster's
or bowling or something.
Yeah, something.
Like that. Okay,
You know, just kind of a little team building exercise.
And it's worked well in the past. I think it's a, I'm sure some people are listening, like, they should be working, get the nose to the grindstone. That is a version of working. I mean, you're building a team.
You're building the camaraderie.
right, you're building
the rapport among the guys, you know. It matters both on and off the field.
Without question. I mean, I think there's a lot of value to that stuff. I mean, your goal is to win football games, and the best way to do that is function as a team. And I think, you know, knowing the people around you better, as in any walk of life or job, is very useful.
Yeah. So,
one stuff.
Of the guys who we know will be on, well, at least he signed to be on the team not only this year but next year,
mm-hmm.
and is the only quarterback who that is the case for, is Mason Rudolph. And we spoke with Mason Rudolph yesterday on a Zoom call. And Mason, I asked him directly. I said, did you look at the contract extension as a vote of confidence in you?
Yeah.
And I thought his answer was pretty good about that. Let's hear from Mason Rudolph.
Yeah, let's do that.
Mason, they gave you a new contract this offseason. You're the only quarterback under contract for next year. Did that alleviate a little of the, I don't know if pressure is the right word, but did it alleviate or ease your mind a little bit that got taken care of now instead of waiting till after the year?
Yeah, I think it's always good to get the vote of confidence from your team. And, I think still my outlook, my approach is proving myself every single day, whether that's in an OTA when really we're only doing 7-on-7 live, or that's in training camp or throughout the season. So it hasn't changed my mindset. Obviously, it's a vote of confidence. It's encouraging, and Pittsburgh's a place where I want to be for a long time. And I love the whole organization here. It's home. So that was exciting, but it doesn't change my approach.
Brooke Breyer.
Yeah, Mason, they brought in a new quarterbacks coach with Mike Sullivan. I know you had Matt Canada last year. What have you learned about maybe what you can learn from Mike Sullivan and the kind of coaching differences between him and Matt Canada, and how can that help you grow in this season?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think, Mike's a longtime NFL coach. He's been in the league a long time. He's been a coordinator, been with a lot of different organizations and been with Hall of Fame players like Eli Manning. So it's been great with Mike. I think he's a drill guy. He's a structure, detail-oriented guy, and he's got a lot of information for us, and he holds us accountable, whether it's, drills in the field or he's big on footwork. He's big on the little things and carrying out your fakes and being diligent. So that's been great because we all appreciate that. But Mike's a great person. A lot of wisdom, and looking forward to continue to work with him.
Joe Rutter.
Yeah, when they offered you the deal, was there any thought to you maybe playing this out and seeing what you could get on the free agent market, and why take the deal when they offered it?
Yeah, well, I think those are conversations I had with my family, my agent, and I think at the end of the day, I want to be in Pittsburgh, and I know this is where I was drafted. This is home. This is where I want to continue to play, and I love my teammates, and I'm glad, we still got what a great team, what a great roster, and I'm looking forward to competing with this team each and every day.
Ray Fittipaldo.
Hey, Mason, from a quarterback's perspective, what are some of the major differences that you're working through and learning Matt's playbook, you know, both on the field and then in the classroom?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of carryover from last year, things we installed early on. It wasn't the whole package. It wasn't the whole, the entire offense was not in last year, but basic terminology was there. And I think, Josh, Ben, and I have a good feel for that. But there is a lot of new. There's, without talking in detail, I think it has taken some study time. And for the last 3 years, we've had really the same terminology with the exception of adding a couple concepts each year. So it took some time. It took some flashcards to be written, study up a little bit. But it's been fun. And Matt's got a lot of great concepts. He's bringing a lot of energy to our offense. He's very detail-oriented. He's a great teacher. He'll be out there, and he teaches. It's his baby. It's his offense, and so he knows it. And he's been great giving us, direct answers.
Will Graves.
Yeah, Mason, I mean, in this discussion with the Steelers, did you approach them about something more than just 1 year? That's the first question. The second one is, based on – you didn't play a lot last year until week 17, but does that prove that you don't necessarily have to be on the field every game to take strides? Because obviously you performed very well in that last week.
Yeah, I'm not, out of respect for the Steelers, I'm not going to speak to different scenarios, or, years and contracts and that type of talk. That's something that's Kevin and Omar handle and Mr. Rooney. So, but I will say that, speaking last year, I think, having Matt Canada, having a quarterback coach, really helped, I think, me take some steps forward and develop and have that confidant week to week where I could go to and ask questions. And he did a great job of, having me, whether I was, obviously all but one game, I was slotted to be the backup. And so, but still having a plan for me, what are your favorites? What's your top 10, drop back concepts, RPOs, play action. And just going through the mental gymnastics of preparing yourself and knowing if this has to happen, if I have to play, we've got a plan in place for it to be a smooth transition. So I think, obviously a small sample size, one game, but I was, we should have won. I think you obviously want to win every ball game you can, but there was a lot of, positives to move forward from.
Mark Caboli.
Hey, Mason, I think you touched on it a little bit, but you're 4 years here. 4 years here now. You had close to four quarterback coaches. If you count Matt Sims, two offensive coordinators. Do you think the lack of cohesion? Yes. Can you hear me?
I got you.
All right. Did you hear any of my question?
Yes, I did.
All right. I thought I heard something else.
Said okay. Lack of cohesion.
The lack of cohesion with the quarterback coach, the offensive coordinator, do you think that stunted your growth at all over the past 3 years?
I don't think so at all. I think I look at it, there's so many positives you can take from being under a Hall of Fame quarterback like Ben Roethlisberger for 3 years, learning from that, having a chance to watch him work, watch him interact with people. I enjoyed Randy Fichtner. We were from day one. He was there with me from the whole time, and I think he really helped me grow. And then Matt, and now having Matt and Mike, I think it's Matt's the coordinator, and Mike's the guy you can go to with questions. And he's really done a great job these first 3 weeks of holding us accountable in the little things. And he's a stickler on some stuff, but it's making us all better. It's been a great 3 years, and I've grown a lot, and made a lot of mistakes, but I've learned from it all, and I think I don't want to make that the same mistake twice. Coach Tomlin always talks about that.
That was Mason Rudolph with the assembled media yesterday.
Some good stuff there.
Yeah, interesting. He got a 1 year, $5 million contract extension with the Steelers.
They just put that on the back of what he already had.
Yeah. Okay. So the signing bonus kind of got spread out over 2 years. So it counts a little over $4 million on their cap next year.
Okay. Which they have the room, and he's right now the only, as you mentioned, the only quarterback under contract. That's a ringing endorsement.
It is, and I think when you look at it from the standpoint of, at the very least, he's your backup
option. Right.
But he also gives you a starting option mm-hmm. in 2022.
How often do we talk about Kevin Colbert, you know, as he prepares for the draft? He has a guy that he can line up with on Sundays. Doesn't mean I'm done. You know, when he walks into the draft room, hey, yeah, we could still use other things, but we have a placeholder that we're comfortable with and maybe more. I mean, we'll see where he comes along and actually has a preseason is, you know, delightful. One thing that kind of stood out for me just in that conversation is he brought up, you know, Coach Sullivan was brought up, the new quarterback coach, and he said, boy, he's really heavy with footwork, fundamentals, drills. And I don't know Mason Rudolph, but kind of being around him and the way he plays, I bet that correlates a lot with how – I bet he's a rep guy. I bet he wants
he's
to –
He's absolutely
know what I mean?
A rep guy. He's yeah. a guy that you see – for example, yesterday during practice, I'm watching – the team's going through some drills. Rudolph wasn't involved in what they were doing. He mm-hmm. was standing back, was you know, with the other quarterbacks. And while he's standing back there, he's got a towel in his hand, you know, snapping off some throws with the towel.
Okay, he's doing something. Yeah,
doing some mental reps with, you know, working on his fundamentals. Sure, you know, making sure the fundamentals are. He is very detail oriented in that respect.
I don't think he's gonna dislike doing drills or you know what I mean.
No.
Yeah. Not that he's robotic,
not take them
but
seriously
I think
or
right,
anything
right.
like that. He's very much a structured guy.
Exactly. Probably more so than Ben ever was, to be honest, especially at the same age, you know. And there's a lot of different ways to skin a cat, of course, but I think that plays well with who Rudolph is. Steeler Nation gives him a hard time. I mean, that goes without saying, and I'm not saying he's perfect by any means. But you look around the league, I mean, there's some really rough backup situations. And if he's the backup here next year or the placeholder or the backup for 10 years on the trajectory he's on now, you could do a lot worse than that.
Well, let's take a look at that, Matt.
Okie doke.
So I've got the rosters up for every team in the league here. And we're going to go through here and look at the quarterback rooms for each team in the league.
Let's say who's got it better than the Steelers backups?
All right, so Arizona obviously has Kyler Murray mm-hmm. as their starter. Colt McCoy, Chris Streveler are their other two quarterbacks on the roster.
All right. that's a tough one for me because Colt McCoy is not very good. He's the typical definition of probably going to last in this league 8 to 10 years because he started games and he doesn't embarrass himself when he's out there. And there's value to those guys. I'm not taking away from we'll get to Chase Daniel. He's a poster boy for it. You have a better chance winning the game right now with Rudolph or McCoy. I think it's a debate, at least. But Rudolph still has a higher ceiling. You know what I mean? So there could
still
be
getting,
more.
Still getting better as opposed to Colt McCoy, who had, he's in his 30s now.
Oh, yeah.
He is who he is.
He very much is who he is, which is a backup quarterback. And frankly, if Rudolph turns into Colt McCoy for his career, that wasn't a wasted pick.
Yeah, he's 34 years old now.
Okay,
so, I mean, he's no spring.
I mean, he ain't getting any better.
No, he is what he is.
Right.
I think I would rather have the Steelers room.
I would, too.
I mean, I'm going to factor.
I know I would.
I'm going to factor, you know, Haskins slash Dobbs
and
into
Dobbs
the equation.
Too, yeah, right. I
mean, you know, you've got two guys backing Ben Roethlisberger up who have started a decent number of games mm-hmm. in the NFL recently. Colt McCoy's starts have all come, you know, 5 years ago.
I also know Dobbs is obviously a very hard worker, very smart. He's getting to the point where I think he might be what he is.
Yeah.
But I do think Rudolph and Haskins
there's
can
more
get
meat
better.
On, there's more meat on the
there's
bone.
There's more meat on the bone. Yeah. I'm not saying they're going to hit it or they're going to be stars, but there's more meat on the bone. They're not in a McCoy situation.
Atlanta behind Matt Ryan has A.J. McCarron and Felipe Franks.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. McCarron's another one. He'll last in this league 8 to 10 years for whatever reason.
I remember what he did with the Bengals back in, you know, 2016.
Yeah. Right. And he wasn't that great when he was at his best.
Yeah. Baltimore.
This one's rough.
Trace McSorley and Tyler Huntley behind Lamar Jackson.
They must like
I'm
McSorley.
Not even sure McSorley's a quarterback.
Right. I would say they must like him more than I do because I don't think he's close to being a number two. I mean, even just watching his Penn State tape and I mean, I know that they're looking for something different there. The RG3 was, but as much as their running back or their quarterback runs, I would have dedicated a little more resources to the backup quarterback.
Yeah, I would have as well. Buffalo's got Mitch Trubisky, Jake Fromm, Davis Webb. That's a pretty good backup.
About as good as it gets, really. I mean, because there might be more meat on the bone with Trubisky.
And Trubisky is exactly like Allen.
Exactly.
He's like Allen Light.
Yeah.
You know, they don't have to change their offense if Mitch Trubisky replaces Allen.
When he was a free agent, I'm sure Trubisky looked around, probably had a couple people, you know, knocking on his door, hey, we'll give you a similar contract. If I were him, I would look at Josh Allen's game and said, I think I can do that one day. I want to go do that, you know.
Maybe I'll take a little less. Reinvent myself.
Right.
You know, become something.
Yeah,
you know,
Winston did that in New Orleans this past year.
Carolina.
Who?
Behind Sam Darnold.
Yeah, right.
Mind you, has P.J. Walker and Will Greer.
For people who don't know Walker, he was a really athletic. What was that league that just closed?
The AFL.
Yeah, he was like the best quarterback there.
Great.
And McSorley's been terrible. Sorry, WVU fans. Or not McSorley.
Will Greer.
Yeah, Greer. He's been troublesome. I kind of liked him coming out of school.
I mean, that's not much of a quarterback situation at all.
No.
Across the board.
I wonder if Deshaun Watson ends up there. Or Russell Wilson a year from now. I still think they're going to be working on it.
Chicago has Andy Dalton as their
starter/placeholder
right now, with Nick Foles and Justin Fields.
But they want to get rid of Foles.
Right.
I mean, if someone offered them a 7th-round pick for Foles, they would take it in a heartbeat.
And as we go down through these quarterback situations, it wouldn't. I mean, Foles is making way too much money to be a
backup.
That's
the thing.
That's
right,
the problem.
Right.
But if Chicago says, okay, we'll take half the money off of that, you know, we'll, mm-hmm. and you know, and how you do, you just turn it into signing bonus or something, and then trade him to get a pick for him, because you're probably going to end up cutting him,
right,
and get nothing.
He's better than some of these other backups.
He's better than some of these other backups, though. But would you trade him for Mason Rudolph?
On game day? Maybe. The thing about Foles, and we saw this so much during the Super Bowl,
when
he took
over,
he's so hot and cold. Yeah. Everyone remembers the hot. His colds are terrible, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Rudolph will be more steady at this stage of his career than Foles. I mean, I would trade my quarterback room for theirs because of Fields, but that's not really the question.
Cincinnati, behind Joe Burrow, has Brandon Allen, Kyle Shermer, Eric Dungy.
All right. I mean, Allen's another one that's going to be a 10-year player that lasts and is fine. No, I would rather the Steelers room.
Cleveland, Case Keenum, Kyle LaLetta behind Baker Mayfield. That's one of the better ones.
It's one of the better ones
in the league.
It's also a tremendous scheme fit. Keenum can be Baker, you know, and he came over from Minnesota.
Which doesn't say much for Baker.
No, right. But, I mean, he fits that style. He did his best year was in Minnesota with Stefanski. Yeah. Some of these, the backup and the starter, or one thing doesn't look like the other.
They don't match up, and that's not what you want. In this case, so they're paying Keenum a lot of money because they're not paying. He's making more money than Baker.
You're right. I mean, this could be a situation like Dallas where they gave Dalton a good buck last year. Now they got to pay Dak. And we'll get to the Cowboys backups, which are not so good. that's probably next, what's on the horizon here in Cleveland.
They're next. Their backups behind Dak Prescott, who's coming back off of a major ankle injury. Cooper Rush, Garrett Gilbert, Ben DiNucci.
Yeah.
Those were Andy Dalton's backups last year. At least they had Dalton.
Right. Miserable. I mean, pay that quarterback that much. And they had a lot of picks, too. Like, may not have been a terrible
might
disservice.
Might have wanted to take one. Yeah.
Fourth-round pick, or you know what I mean?
Denver, obviously Drew Locke is the
Locke and Bridgewater,
quote-unquote
right,
starter.
Right.
It's Bridgewater and then Brett Rypien. Kind of the problem, though, is when you don't have an established starter, you almost have to have that backup who is equal.
It's hard to say who the backup is.
Right.
Of course, I would trade Mason for Locke or, I guess, Bridgewater, too. I mean, Bridgewater's better at football than Rudolph, but he's not for me.
Yeah, he just
– Right.
I don't know that he is.
No. When it's all said and done, and you can, especially when you consider what you have to pay for them, you know, you got to give Bridgewater some kind of a signing bonus and pay his salary. And does he really give you a much better chance to win?
Does he give you a better chance to win?
Probably, but
the history tells us maybe not, because Carolina's roster was not that bad last year.
No, right.
And he did not make the most of it.
No. And I know he won games with the Saints, but
like I know that Mason Rudolph would have used DJ Moore last year.
Sure.
And Robbie Anderson. If you put Mason Rudolph on the field with those receivers, he's going to have some success.
Yeah.
Not checked down constantly.
One of my little pet projects lately was, and I did it last year, is I took all the prominent quarterbacks' completion percentages and multiplied it times their average depth of target. And there's a lot of guys that just don't have enough throws to really, you know, judge it, and Rudolph's one of them. But he came up near the top of the league because his average depth of target last year was like 10 yards per throw.
Yeah, he attacked the Browns,
right.
And that's where you attack
Ben's was
the
much,
Browns.
Much less. Yeah. You know, so don't just – my only point with that, it's only one game. he's not just a check down Charlie. You know, I mean, I think there's more aggressiveness to him than people want to give him credit for.
Detroit. This one's really bad. Yeah. Detroit's backup behind Jared Goff is Tim Boyle and David Blau. Yeah. Those are the backups.
That's a little bit of malpractice, too. I mean, that's a lot of faith. Because
they had cap space, too.
Right. I mean, get a young guy with a little bit of upside and hope you hit gold, or I don't know. I mean, they need everything, so it's hard to be critical. Yeah, that's really bad, though.
That's bad.
That's like as bad as it gets, yeah.
Green Bay is Jordan Love, Blake Bortles, Benkert, I should say. Mm-hmm. Don't even know who he is. But Bortles and Love, obviously they used a high pick on Love last year, first round draft pick.
And as bad
but
as
if you don't have Aaron, if you don't have Aaron Rodgers in the building,
but you got trouble.
Then you got trouble.
You got big trouble. And Rodgers did not report to minicamp. I mean, he's paying fines as we speak. I mean, Blake Bortles is a pretty bad player, but he's a lot better than like what Detroit has.
Yeah.
Dallas, or you know, right?
That's what you're going to get as a backup quarterback. Yeah. Blake Bortles will be a backup quarterback in the league for the next 10 years,
probably. And I'd much rather have Rudolph than Bortles.
Houston,
this isn't horrible.
We can't count Deshaun Watson.
That's the thing. That's all the backups.
Because Tyrod Taylor's a great backup.
Yeah, he's a great backup. But if he's your one,
if he's your one, now you're in trouble because you got Tyrod Taylor, Jeff Driskel, and Davis
in the third round pick, right? Which I think Mills has some promise. It's not the pick I would have made for them, but he may end up being a Rudolph-like player.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You hope. You're kind of hoping there.
He's not in a great situation to succeed.
If it's Deshaun Watson with Tyrod Taylor as the backup, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's actually really good.
Oh, yeah,
because
right.
he's actually...
You got the young guy waiting. Yeah,
and he's got some similarities in his game to Deshaun, although he's kind of Teddy Bridgewater-like as well. He won't throw.
Oh, true.
He'll check that.
But as a backup, I don't mind that.
Right,
He gets you out of games, holds the fort down for a Herbert or somebody like that. I keep hearing Watson to Denver is still a possibility, by the way. I don't think Watson will ever play again.
I don't think he plays this year.
And I don't think he plays for Houston again.
Indianapolis. Now, Indianapolis has a really good roster.
They do.
Here's the problem.
They neglect some things, though.
And neglecting the quarterback position is not a good thing.
Right.
Now, they didn't neglect it. They went out and traded for Carson Wentz. But the backups are Jacob Eason, Sam Ellinger, and Jalen Morton.
Eason's a big, strong pocket passer, like the dude from Florida that went to Tampa this year. We'll get to him.
Trask,
that type of player that suits the league 20 years ago more than now. I didn't like him much coming out of school for those reasons. But maybe if we saw a whole preseason, let's give him the benefit of the doubt. If we would have seen his preseason last year, we might be like, oh, okay, there's something there. We know some of these guys.
But
as your number one backup, right. And he didn't get that preseason.
And
he hasn't played at all.
They had money. Like, okay, Teddy Bridgewater there would make a lot of sense.
Keep Brissett. Yeah, right.
You didn't have to get rid of him.
I mean, if Wentz is a disaster, which is very possible.
What's your fallback option?
Right. Brissett made a lot of sense to me to keep. Wentz and Brissett, and even have Eason sitting there, take it.
Jacksonville has Gardner Minshew and C.J. Beathard behind Trevor Lawrence. That's not bad.
I would say that's pretty good.
Yeah.
I would rather have Minshew than Rudolph.
Yeah.
You know, he's not super gifted, but I think he's – I always – when people ask me about Minshew, I think he's going to have a Ryan Fitzpatrick-like career.
Yeah,
like, he bounces around a little bit, kind of flamboyant, teammates love him, but, at the end of the day, isn't quite good enough.
Kansas City, behind Patrick Mahomes, has Chad Henne, Anthony Gordon, Shane Buechele.
Just horrible, really. I mean, Henne
– Henne could not be any different than
– Right. Henne must be just like a quarterback coach.
He's been around forever.
He's the new Matt Schaub.
He's 35 years old.
Right. Like, I remember him coming out of school. I mean, I was a Pitt. I mean, anyone that qualifies for that is old. Him and Anthony Morelli were the same year coming out of two top PA quarterbacks. I mean, if Mahomes – some people take the logic of if Mahomes is hurt, our season's over anyways.
Right.
But
if he misses three games, your season can't be over.
It can't be over, right.
You can't lose all three.
Through,
yeah,
right.
You can't lose all three games. The Chargers behind Justin Herbert have Chase Daniel and Easton Stick.
Easton Stick's not awful. I mean, but Chase Daniel's
awful.
He's the $5 million a year, going to retire with $80 million in the bank and play 10 snaps a year. Yeah. He's the poster boy for those guys.
the Rams have John Wolford, Bryce Perkins, Devlin Hodges behind.
I know no one's heard of any of those, but Wolford, maybe it just goes to show how much they hated Goff last year, but they were kind of pushing Wofford in for over Goff in those playoff games. He played a little. He's a good athlete, but who knows?
The Raiders behind Derek Carr have Marcus Mariota and Nate Peterman.
Peterman's still in the league.
That might be one of the better backup situations in the league, though.
Yeah, I'm a Mariota fan. Yeah. I'd have him start over a handful of teams, and I would rather have him than Mariota than Rudolph.
Yeah.
The fact that Nate Peterman's in the league speaks a lot about the backup situation. And wow,
Miami has Jacoby Brissett behind.
It's about as good as it
Tua. Yeah, that's pretty good. Minnesota, their primary backups behind Kirk Cousins is Kellen Mond, who was a third round draft pick this year.
And I commend them for at least taking a swing there.
Jake Browning, Nate Stanley.
Those guys are.
If Kirk Cousins gets hurt, their season's over.
Oh, their season's over. Yeah. But it also wouldn't shock me if 2 years from now we're talking about, well, let's hand it over to Mond and we're done giving Kirk $35 million a year or whatever.
Or somebody else.
Right.
It might not be Mond, but somebody else. New England, you have Mac Jones, Jarrett Stidham, Brian Hoyer behind Cam Newton. Could be reversed there. Who knows? I mean, they've got.
I'll take that backup situation.
But they've got four, and they don't necessarily have a starter.
No, but sooner or later it's going to be the first-round pick.
Yeah. It's kind of the same thing in New Orleans, where you have Taysom Hill, Jameis Winston, Ian Book, and Trevor Siemian.
The Book pick makes no sense.
Yeah.
It was one of my least favorite picks. In the fourth round. He doesn't throw the ball very well either.
Yeah. I mean, unless they're projecting him as another younger version of Taysom Hill, we really like having that.
I think that's the way they look at him.
Which is stupid.
It makes no sense to me. And they didn't have many picks. That's the wasted one to me.
The Giants, behind Daniel Jones, have Mike Glennon and Clayton Thorson.
I mean, I'd rather have Rudolph, don't get me wrong, but Glennon's going to last in this league.
Yeah. This one might be the worst in the league, the Jets.
Yeah, it's really bad.
Zach Wilson's a starter. Never started a game in the NFL. Backed up by James Morgan and Mike White.
Yeah, bad.
I mean, it's awful.
I mean,
Money.
Yeah, it'd be nice to have the Fitzpatrick type, you know, if Tua struggles, if Wilson struggles.
Yeah, who's talking Wilson down off the ledge?
Yeah, and I'm not even sure Flacco's that guy, but maybe keep Flacco for another year. At least have a veteran somewhere around. I mean, that's a young group, too.
Speaking of Flacco, we'll get the Eagles, and he's the number one backup there with Jamie Newman also on the roster.
Yeah, and that's very much the square peg in the round hole.
Flacco
too.
Could not be any different than Jalen Hurts.
And Newman's at least similar. I mean, I'm not sure exactly why he wasn't drafted, but he's talented, and you know he's an athlete.
Seattle.
They always stink at this.
Russell Wilson is Geno Smith, Danny Eitling, and Alex Magoo.
Yeah, Magoo.
Magoo.
Geno's another one's going to last forever.
He stinks.
For whatever reason.
He stinks.
Seattle never uses picks on quarterbacks.
The 49ers, behind Jimmy G, have Trey Lance, Josh Rose, and Nate Sudfeld.
Yeah. I mean, Jimmy G's going to be the backup at some point or elsewhere. Yeah. And then, you know, so those kind of teams don't really count.
Right. Tampa Bay, behind Tom Brady, has Blaine Gabbert and Kyle Trask.
Blaine Gabbert sure seems like a Leftwich Arians Brady. He's washing all their cars or something. He's got a career set for him. And I give him credit. They didn't need anything, so they took a swing on Trask. I'd rather Rudolph than Trask, though.
Yeah. The Titans. Logan Woodside and DeShone Kizer behind Ryan Tannehill. That's bad.
I mean, I'll come clean. I liked Kizer coming out of school and thought he really got a raw deal with the Browns, but that ship sailed 3 years ago.
Yeah. And then finally, the Washington football team behind
Fitzpatrick
has Taylor Heinicke, Kyle Allen, Steven Montez.
I like Heinicke. It's a small sample size, and it's a recent taste in your mouth type of thing.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd trade Rudolph for him, though. And they're going to be as quarterback needy as the Steelers, if not more, after this season.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
There's
He's not the long-term starter.
No, there's none there.
Yeah. But interesting when you look at it from that perspective, like, everybody's saying the Steelers quarterback room is a mess. It's really not.
It really isn't. And I bring this up a lot, you know, this time of year, every year. One of my projects with ESPN, rank the 1 to 32, the backup quarterbacks in the league. It is eye-opening. I mean, you go through those from 15 down or I mean, not good football players.
And Rudolph's probably in the top 10.
I would say he's probably 8, 9, something like that.
Worst, he's in the top 12.
I mean, the Mariota types, you take over them all day long. They have a pedigree.
And there's some starters, you know, some starter battles that you look at.
Some are hard to count.
The loser, that's going to be.
You know. Like the Niners shouldn't count.
Right.
You know what I mean? And Chicago, teams like that, that you know that they're a guy coming up. Because obviously you'd rather have Trey Lance than Mason Rudolph, you know.
Yeah.
But, or Jimmy, for that matter. But, yeah, it's a bad group.
It's just, yeah, I mean,
unless he gets injured, I bet Rudolph plays 10 years in this league.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's a very safe bet. And he's a lot better than a lot of those guys that are doing the
as
exact
well
same
as,
thing.
If not better than a lot
Colt
of
the McCoys and you know, Hoyer.
75% of the backups that are on that list.
Yeah. I mean, I mentioned that Henny came out of high school when I was recruiting. Hoyer did too.
Yeah.
I mean, he's lasted a long time. Rudolph could easily be those guys. I mean, and probably better when it's all said and done, career wise.
But interesting. We're going to take a break.
That's
going to end it for this segment. So, for my partner, Matt Williamson, for Jacob here on site, keeping us on the air, I'm Dale Lally. We thank you for listening to this edition of The Drive on Steelers Nation Radio.